Join me first at 1 John 5, and then to the book of Proverbs, chapter 25. I'd like to share with you just a few thoughts about your confidence. Confidence. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Whether you reckon it to be so or not, that requires a little bit of confidence on your part. First of all, with regard to eternal life, and second of all, on just the barefaced promise everywhere in Scripture for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. That requires a little bit of confidence. And people who are saved by grace and who enjoy the fellowship and the company of the Lord on a daily basis generally have no confidence problems with regard to their eternal security and their standing before a holy God. However, I was reading something earlier this week with regard to these verses and pulled something out that the devotional writer didn't touch upon, but it occurs to me as we read verse 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Please make sure that you note the distinction between what He hears and what He grants. Always note that distinction. Don't be overly disappointed if after offering your prayers it does not seem apparent to you that God is interested in granting them. Then we read in the next verse, we know that if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now that turns the page of this a little bit where confidence is concerned. And so let me just make this note and then go to the underlying considerations. I look at the 14th verse and what jumps out at me is the fact that prayer in itself is an expression of confidence in God. You're here tonight, prayer meeting, Wednesday night, middle of the week, we're here always for that. And you pray normally, I would imagine, in your closets at home, your private devotions. Think about it in this way, that whenever it is that you take the time to open your heart to God and pray, that is an expression of confidence that you have in Him. Prayerfulness is an expression of confidence in God. He hears. He can do anything He wants. And He can do anything He wants when He wants or not. There's never a time when you come to prayer and utter a petition that He does not hear. He always will hear. Excepting, of course, the Psalm 66:18 provision that exempts any consideration of answered prayer if we regard sin in our own hearts and in our lives. God will not respond to anything other than a prayer of contriteness or repentance. So if that premise is true, then I think the opposite is true as well. Prayerlessness is then an expression of no confidence in God. Prayerlessness is an expression of no confidence in God. Whether that is by design, where a person is absolutely convinced that prayer is foolish. I mean, if you think about it, whether you're audibilizing your prayers or whether your prayers are silent, you're offering up a petition to someone you can't see. You have never met personally face to face yet. So there you are, and you're verbalizing your requests to someone you've never seen. And some people would come back and say, you know, I've been on the foolish end of that side so many times, I just stopped and don't pray anymore. I prayed about things that were critical to me and important to me, and God did not answer them. So what's the use of going on with it? And it becomes no confidence in God. No confidence. Now, when I speak about the word confidence, I'm talking about the word itself is expressive of so much stuff that, but to narrow it down, it is really to have hardwired into your new spirit, the new creation, a reverent boldness toward God. A reverent boldness toward God. One that where one is absolutely assured of the absolute reality of the truth that here you are a tiny little speck in a universe called Earth, and somewhere in outer space, in the very presence of God, the moment that you speak to Him, your voice is heard there. Okay? And the absolute reality of that breeds confidence in the prayer warrior. And sometimes that interaction at prayer time is blunt, depending on the circumstances, always frank, but it is a reverent boldness that is typical in the life of a properly raised child when they make appeal to their father. A reverent boldness, not an arrogant demand. But confidence is a very flighty thing. In the book of Proverbs, let me get you there. Proverbs 25, and I'm looking at the 19th verse. The focus is on an unfaithful man. An unfaithful man. The scriptures here say that confidence in an unfaithful man in trouble, in time of trouble. It's like two things. Maybe you have experienced one or both of them in your life. Okay? It's like two things. A tooth and a disjointed ankle. Okay? You have confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Okay? Now consider the tooth for a minute and where confidence enters into that. When there is no pain, you put stuff in your mouth and you begin to chew and you take it for granted. And it's sort of like a mindless thing, except for the enjoyment that you derive from whatever it is that you're eating. But you absolutely do not anticipate that once you put some food in your mouth that there's going to be a problem until there's a problem. Okay? And all it takes is for you to bite down the wrong way on or bite down on something, the wrong thing, the wrong angle, and immediately there is pain in your mouth. And you may shriek at that. It may really be painful. And it may precipitate a visit or two to the dentist to remedy that. Or it may just be that momentary twinge of pain that you feel because the tooth is maybe loose, or maybe there's a cavity there, or maybe there's something part of it missing. But one thing you learn from that is simply this. The next bite of food is going to go in somewhere else. And as long as you can as long as the painfulness is still poignant in your mind, you're always going to defer using that side of the mouth. The tooth that's there causing you the pain or having caused you the pain is no longer to be counted on. I can't count on it anymore. And the problem that you will have is if you've got one on both sides of your mouth, okay? If you've got here and here, well, then you go from eating meat to eating noodles. Now, that's not a bad thing for me, but it might be a bad thing for you, okay? And there are some of us who avoid eating meats like that. I mean, unless they are cooked so tender that you can mash them, sometimes it's not really worthwhile putting them in your mouth. Then about the ankle, the foot there, a foot out of joint. Now I would imagine that poor old PJ is feeling the ravages of that even as we speak. But some of us, over the years have had, unexpectedly, walking or, you know, maybe in a public place where you really don't want to have it happen, where the foot goes out and all of a sudden you're limping. And when you're young, it's easy to hop on one foot and get somewhere safe. But when you're an old person, you have to limp. That becomes quite an event. And if you have ever had the plantar fasciitis, if you've ever experienced that kind of stuff, whenever you've got a muscular problems there and trying to get that all ironed out over a period of weeks, in the meantime, you cannot count on that foot. There's just absolutely no possibility of a 911 response to an emergency if you have to run for it. Just not a problem. It's not going to happen. And even after the pain subsides and the discomfort goes, there's still for a period of time that thought of, can I really rely on this limb when I need to rely on it most? Or am I going to be out in no man's land somewhere and it fails again? Seems to me that whenever it is that people express confidence in something, they do something because they do it without calculating thought about it. It's like a gear that's automatic. So when you come back to prayer, think about that for a minute. Many times, like in the book of Ephesians 3, Ephesians 6, where the prayer is the topic, there is, like in Ephesians chapter 6, the reference is about praying always. Paul asks for prayer that he may open his mouth boldly, with confidence. He's asking for that, to make known the gospel, boldness in prayer, boldness to preach. There you have confidence in God on display. We have that well-known reference in the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 16. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Come bold, come with confidence to the throne of grace, unless you don't have any confidence in God, unless there's no confidence in the Lord. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, and keep in mind, in light of our studies on Sunday morning concerning propitiation, the throne of grace is like unto the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant, the place where ancient Israel would meet with God. Now we are no longer Israel. We are the New Testament church. And now we still have the same opportunity to come and meet with God at the throne of grace, and there to find help, the frapping, the undergirding in time of need. We will not personally do that. We will not sustain it corporately unless we have a profound, unshakable confidence in God. God always hears, always, always hears. But he does not always answer in the way that we expect or the timing that we would like. But he does answer in one way or the other. We must have absolute confidence that our God is a God who always does what is right. Always he does what is right. And if our heart condemn us not, we have confidence toward God. And even when our confidence is dashed and we trace it back to our sin, our personal sins, John also provides for us in 1 John 1:9 a way to get the life square and straight so that you can approach God at the mercy seat, at the throne of grace, to find help in time of need. By simple confession, God is faithful and just to forgive those who do. So I leave you with your thoughts on that, and trust that you will always have a desire to express your confidence in God, and the primary way we do that is when we come time for prayer. Lord, lead us in that. May we be people of prayer day in and day out. We ask your Heavenly Father that you might guide our steps, and help us, dear Heavenly Father, to walk our talk. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we might be content that as we offer up things to you at the throne of grace, and it is only you and us who knows what we've asked, that we might be content just to leave the matter with you. Little does it matter, Lord, what others may know about what we pray, but it is critical that you know and we know, and that when we see how you respond, that we might be very, very quick to give you the glory and rejoice and praise you for your kindness to us over and over again. Help us in that for Jesus' sake. Amen.